Welcome back to the Evolve Stylist Podcast. I'm Sarai Spear.
And I'm the other one, Rebecca Taylor.
Rebecca fucking Taylor.
Oh, I snorted just then. But if you listen to the last recording, they're going to know why I even think that's funny.
We're farting, we're snorting, we're belching. You get it all here, folks.
Exactly. No disgusting stone left unturned with us.
Fucking right. That's fucking right. So part two, we have some questions, right? Well, I should say Rebecca has some questions.
Yeah, she doesn't know what these are. In full disclosure, I just lickety-split ran over to AI and said, and the prompt was 10 questions. Questions to ask. 10 questions to ask your fellow podcast hosts. Sometimes mine are so asinine, but it is what it is. 10 questions to ask your fellow podcast host who's also a hairstylist and an educator. So you guys, I read a couple of these. They seem legit. It's not so much the question, but it's going to be the answer. I feel like in this case, it's going to be cool. So that Delve deck that Sarai came with was definitely pretty cool and crafty, but since I didn't have time to get some shit from Amazon, AI, it's about AI. And this kind of goes with our last podcast, our last episode, to do with education. Are you ready for these?
I'm ready. And you also have to answer the same question, though, when I'm done, right? Like we did with the Dell. Okay, cool.
That's then let's fucking go. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Oh my God, I need glasses. Okay, let me see if I can maximize this real quick.
Do you not have readers?
No. I think I'm just like dragging my feet. I need to do two things.
Shut the fuck up. Stop. I'll send you the link for the cutest fucking, these glasses that I always wear that everyone thinks are so cute. I got them from China and they were $20 and they're readers and they're sick. So I'll send you the link.
I need those and I need to go get an MRI for my shoulder. I'm like, I'm dragging my feet on these two things, but shit, you know what? I think that leads us to our first question actually. Okay. I want to be able to see you. Let me move this over a little bit. Okay. Here's some questions. Well, not so much. Is this going to tie into what we were just talking about? But like kind of, sort of. All right, Sarai, you ready?
Ready.
What inspired you to pursue a career as both first a hairstylist and then an educator?
So I have always loved doing weird shit with my hair. And I think it was because my parents didn't really let me do a lot. I had super long hair as a kid. And I remember chopping 18 inches off before my senior pictures. And that was like such a rebel move. And then when I graduated, I would like get big chunks and funky colors. And so when I was 24, I came to a crossroads in my life and I was like, real estate or hair? Like what's the career path that I want? And so I was like, dude, I really love fucking doing shit with hair. So I'm going to do hair. And I had no idea, obviously, where it would take me or how much I would fucking love it. The people, the relationships that you create, you know, and later in my career, once I got past the, I don't know how to formulate, give me a formula in the back room, the creativity, the science of it. I really began to dive into the science and the chemistry. So, you know, I don't come from a line of hairstylists. It was something that I just thought this will be really cool to try. And I thought, if I don't like it, you know, fucking whatever. I mean, I've already changed majors 7 fucking times in college. So who gives a shit? And I fell in love. And in getting into education, I think I knew early in my career that I wanted to be an educator. I didn't, you know, I thought I'd go work at a fucking beauty school. Like that's kind of when I graduated, that's kind of thank you, Godmother Rebecca, for paving the pathway for people like me. She's all beklempt. But no, seriously, I thought she did clutch your pearls. I thought I would be some sort of, I don't know, instructor at a school or, you know, fucking something like that. But I got into education because I realized I was doing things differently than other people. Like they kept asking me, how are you doing these crazy blonding transformations? How is the hair so healthy? How do you get it so white? How are you doing this? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. I do. And they're like, well, show me. And so my foray into education was showing the person who worked next to me at the booth how I fucking did this. And then other people in the salon. And then my salon owner was finally like, hey, we want you to teach a salon class. And I'm like, oh my God, what? I've never taught. I don't know what I'm doing. Which, you know, and then it snowballed. And my very first like paid class, which I think it was $50, it was the worst thing on the planet. It was 13 hours long. It was 5 different fucking techniques.
You
and
know
I was like,
the worst. And I've heard there are people, I saw them comment that attended the class that loved it. You might have thought it sucked, but people got a lot out of it.
So much like anything in life, when we start at something, we're going to suck, you know? Yeah. And I thought, that's it. I wasn't meant to be an educator, but then I got the bug and I was like, no, I really loved sharing. And it's, you know, it's completely different being an educator and working on clients. You have a lot of crossover, but it's like your audience is different. And I could go deeper with the people in class. And like, it was just a whole different ballgame. So that's kind of how I got into hair and becoming an educator. What about you?
I love it. I like that, you know, these questions seem very like innocuous and dumb. Like I got a robot to give it to us, but I told you it was the answer. So I'm really excited.
I don't think these are dumb. I think this is awesome.
I do too. I was worried. How about that? I was worried that they'd be all like computer generated and have no soul, but we're the ones that give it soul. So that's cool.
That's right.
Okay. And then my point was I've heard you speak a million times. You're my friend, but it's just every single time we talk about our journey, I'm like, interesting. That's cool. So it's going to be fun to hear more about it. All right. What about me? When I was a young lad, I'm not a lad. Well, that's so fucking, you heard it here first. I couldn't think of the Scottish version of whatever. Alas, when I was young, I would always sit there and watch like, I'm tripped up over what I said. Hold on. Okay. I would always watch like Jenny Jones and Ricky Lake and then later America's Top Model. And I would just was obsessed with like transformations. And I loved how you could change your appearance. And then people would come on all frumpy dump on the show and be like, I hate this or I hate that. And then leave feeling like amazing, you know, like feeling themselves. So from a very young age, I just was fascinated by that. And then I wanted that for myself. I mean, even as a tiny kid, I got my like safety scissors and like fucked my hair up, you know, fucked all my dolls' hair up. My Barbie dolls would be all whatever with marker in their hair. And then on myself, and then teenage years, you know, the manic panic, the just crazy punk. I was very much a little punk metal kid. So me and all my homies had the hair. And then when I knew that it was an option for me, I was also 24, to make this career, I told myself, because for some reason, already at that age, the stigma was there with don't be just a hairstylist. I was like, if this is my life, which I had a feeling like this was like my, this is gonna be it. Like, this is even my ticket out of like a shit situation financially and just in general in life, you know, I was like, this is it. And so I'm going to take it to the max. And so this transitions into the whole education piece. 2 years out of hair school, I was reading trade magazines and their online really wasn't a thing. It was MySpace, but you didn't see a whole lot of MySpace. I was promoting my shit on MySpace, but it's not like you saw a lot of trade stuff or industry stuff. So I'd read the magazines and I would see people on like platform artists. That was the thing, platform artists. And you had to work with a brand and whatever. I was like, I'm obsessed. I don't care. I'm watching YouTube videos. I'm doing whatever I got to do. I filled out an ad or responded to an email for Joico 2 years out of school. And I was like you said, you got bit by the bug. This was before I even technically taught. I just was in that world. I was like, that's it. They all wear black and they're flashy and they're on stage and people revere them and they're doing this and that. I'm like, that is fucking it. And then two, you were saying, and this, I feel strongly about this too. I was showing people the way I did things or what I had found or discoveries in hair school. So I'm there with my peers. I'm like, oh, if you do this, the passion was there from get. Cause I thought I knew it all. Cause I'd use manic panic and quick white, quick blue light or whatever. I'm like, look what I know. So I kind of was a shithead in school, honestly. I'd like butt up against with the instructors and stuff. I'm like, that's not what I think. I was a little asshole. I was a little fucking asshole. But also on the dean's list. So don't try to tell me nothing. I had some shit to back it up. But I don't know. I just loved it from the get-go and did the whole brand education thing for 7 years. Many of those years I was just gaining education, not actually educating, because I was scared. I was scared. I was like, who's gonna listen to a 2 year out of hair school and then 3 and then 4 year out of hair school, newbie with gap teeth, overweight, from a small town, all these limiting beliefs, you know, and like that wasn't good enough. So I just got the education but never was an educator until I know what the thing was, is like I left that brand. I'm like, you know what? People, like they were asking you, were asking me how I did shit. And I'm like, well, I will show you. And this is how I will create a tour and do my own education. And now there's so many forms of education. It's, you know, and we were talking in the last episode, you're into it, you're out of it, you're into it, your passion wanes, and then it grows, and then it wanes, and it grows. But like, I always come back to it. I fucking love it so much. And I feel like I'm going strong again after 20 years, and I know you are too, which is really cool.
But I think that's so cool because it speaks so much about this industry as a whole. The fact that like we love it and then we get burnt out and then we get sucked back in. It's like I don't know another industry like the hair industry. I mean, I honestly don't. And I think that's so cool that at any point in our life we can transform, we can change, we can leave, we can come back, and we always have hair. We always have hair to come back to. I just think that's so cool. Our industry fucking rocks, dude.
I really love it. And just like the ability to express yourself and just, I mean, sure, everything in every industry has its like shit parts. But overall, I feel like there's so many opportunities and the vibe is so there and it checks out more than it ever did. I feel like people are more resonating with community over competition way more than back in the day. You know how that was. You didn't ever share your formula because so and so down the street, whatever. I feel like that's another thing that's really gotten me ahead over the years is sharing my formula always from get-go because I had that educator's like spirit, you know what I mean? So I feel like now more than ever, our industry is like sick because we're valuing community, self-care, all this stuff. So it keeps getting elevated, which I'm excited about, honestly.
Yeah, it's really cool. And like, I'm not trying to stroke your ego, but seriously, you kind of paved the way for all of us to get to do what we are doing now with you saying, okay, I've got this education under my belt. I'll show you how to do this. Like, I don't even think you knew what you were doing at the time.
I
You were
didn't.
just doing what felt good, but you kept doing it. And you're the godmother of fucking goddamn independent education, like, truly. And it's, I'm so grateful that you leaned into that and that you followed your passion, you followed your heart, and you said, fuck all my insecurities, like fuck me being scared, fuck me feeling like I'm not ready. And you just did it and you kept doing it. So seriously, thank you for that.
No, thank you. I'm serious. Thank you for saying that because you, in your own right, you just as a human, you as a fellow hairstylist, are fucking doing and have been doing big things. So for you to say that and that you recognize that and that's your truth when you observe what I was doing means a lot to me. If anybody said it, it would be pretty fucking sick. But coming from you, it's like extra fucking sick. So I appreciate that so much. And I think it's really cool that. I don't know, we've said this a million times, but like full circle moments, like, you know, just and that's the thing too that probably has kept me kept has kept
Yes.
me I'm smart. That's the thing that's kept me so about it for this industry is that like I don't know how to describe it, but like there's no hierarchy in this, you know what I mean? And like, I love to see people that either came to my class with or I kept up with at certain points in their career or my career or whatever. Like, there's no up and down. There's no like, you're here, you're there. Like, I fucking love seeing you do big things. I love seeing anybody in this industry do big things. It's not a competition, it's not shitty. Like, you say you're coming back out with a tour. I'm like, fucking hell yeah. Got one going on at the same time. I saw Meg, my friend Mermaid, just announced a tour, somebody even in the same city, I'm like, fuck yeah, maybe we can link up. It's not about like there's enough for anyone, or there just is. And so I think that is what has kept me from having a bunch of resistance with just the community and people and whatever. It's because, like, I love to see everybody win. So thank you for saying that. It means a lot to me.
Yeah. Love you, homie.
I love you too, Fran. I'm like almost cried.
Almost. All right.
I did. Okay. You don't know the question, so it's on me to prompt them. Oh, you're going to hate this. Just in the first four words, you're gonna be like, bitch, we already talked about this. Okay, I'm gonna edit this a little bit because I know that, I don't know, I'm just gonna say it and then you edit it as you see.
Okay.
How do you balance, and that's the word you're like, ooh, how do you balance your roles as an educator and as a hairstylist in your daily life? And this is why I was like, you don't really take clients much anymore. So like, how do you just balance all the different things you have going on?
I don't know. I'll say that. But then I do know. But there was a point in my career until the last year and a half that I was working 5 days a week. And at one point I was working 7 days a week. I mean, you know, I was taking clients Tuesday through Friday or Thursday, hop on a plane, go teach, get back Tuesday morning, hop off the plane, go back to work, do the clients, educate the following weekend. So for a while, straight up, there was no fucking balance. Just being completely transparent, there was no balance. And that led to, yes, you know, it led to burnout, exhaustion, me being in the hospital multiple times a year with bronchitis, with pneumonia. So how do I balance it now? I've had to realize that when I'm in flow, when I'm like lit up and fired up about something, it's okay to work really fucking hard. It's okay to work 7 days in a row. It's okay because I know that it's not gonna fucking be 7 days a week for six fucking months or 6 years straight, because I have burnt out and I've recovered from it. So how do I balance it? I think it's prioritizing things. So, you know, I spend X amount of time with Balanced Stylist Society. I spend X amount of time creating content. I spend X amount of time, you know, on my education. And they're not all equally balanced. And then I spend X amount of time on me, like a sloth day on the couch or going for a walk. You know, if I've got a whole day where I'm just creating online content, I make sure that I set a timer and I go take my dogs on a walk. That I start my morning with yoga, that I make sure that I fucking eat and I don't just consume coffee all day. So, but it's taken me a lot of trial and error to get to the point where I can balance. There is flow, there is harmony. But again, you know my feelings about, it's never 50-50, right? It's never fucking 50-50. I feel like last year was a year of rest and recovery for me, even though I was still working and touring, but it was just at a different pace. And this year, the fire's back, but I just know I can't go fucking ham like I did before with no boundaries. So it's taken me a while to learn how to balance, but I think prioritizing, time blocking, and for me, using multiple things to schedule, like meetings or content or time blocking, has really helped me.
I'm lost in thought. I'm like, yeah. And right then I was like, I need to know about these apps and these like things. But I feel like the last thing you said was like one of the biggest things for me is like optimizing like tools to make you not have to do every single little thing and get caught up in the minutia of all these different areas of your life. So yay technology. I'm really glad you mentioned that. I'm going to do what you did too. I'm going to do like the way it was versus the way it is, because I know a lot of our listeners might want to like educate as well as work on me here. At least at first, I wouldn't recommend being like, I am an educator tomorrow and I'm firing all of you clients. Like,
I mean, hey, if that's what you feel like you got to do, you'll probably learn quickly that it wasn't the best plan, but maybe that's what you got to do.
You know what? Whatever you gotta do, you gotta yep. do. But like, I'm gonna share my experience, and then I feel like that you'll see why I think that makes sense, right? So when I way leaned into education, and it kind of just like it becomes a thing, it becomes this momentum, you're like, whoa, I didn't know that it was going to take this much of my time. So then you have a full book of clients, because that's what got you to the point of being an educator generally, is having all these clients to get all this content to post it online. And if you want to go independent, then the people see your work and then they request classes and da 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 da, and that just becomes a thing. And then you're like, wow, I'm more of an educator now than I am a behind the chair stylist. So I had to make the decision. Mine was not a hard one to make because of the circumstances, but I was educating almost full time, and I felt like I wasn't available to my clients, and that wasn't right or fair from a service provider standpoint. I was like, okay, people were wanting to make their 6 or 8 week touch up appointment. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm gonna be out of town for like freaking 3 weekends. I can't fit you in. And if I could, I would have no personal time at all whatsoever when I was home. So then I made the decision to actually move from Florida to Los Angeles. And so that was a really easy way. I don't know what I would have done. Looking back, honestly, I don't know, with my shit boundaries and people pleasing shit, I don't know if I would have gotten to the point of like, sorry, I'm not taking clients behind the chair anymore, to being a full-time educator. But it just happened that way. So when I moved, I can't do in California the hair that I was doing back in Florida. So I'm like, I'm just not going to build a new clientele. And so then I pursued my education career. Didn't really have to be much balance, but I'll tell you what I did do that was incredibly unbalanced is that, sure, full-time educator content creation, I was like popping off and I had opportunities, and I was like, I didn't take any time for myself. So I said yes to everything, traveled everywhere, did every class, said yes to multiple brands, whatever brands I could like work in without exclusivity at the same time. So it'd be like a brand deal with a hot tool that I really loved. I mean, I just want to say too, all of these were authentic to me. I wasn't like, I take that back. One time I plugged, what was it? Flat Tummy Tea, just because they threw me money. And I'm like, this is all new to me. This is all fucking new to me. The whole social media game. Let me plug some fucking Flat Tummy Tea and get a paycheck. And I was like, never again. This is not in alignment. I feel like such a sellout, whatever. But all the other shit I had going on at the same time, I was like, okay, so you had to create content for like a hot tool. And then you had to create content for a styling line. And then you had to create content for a color line and a bond builder. And you're also doing independent education. So my whole life was just spread incredibly thin. And I rode that out until what we talked about in the previous episode was extreme burnout. And then humbling myself, going back behind the chair, yada, yada. Man, you said a lot about balance that makes total sense. And we said it a lot in the last episode too. So if you didn't listen to that last one, I feel like this is goes hand in hand with this one. But now I'm very intentional with where I put my energy, and I can do all these things that bring me passion. Like I can be an educator, I can be a coach, I can work incredibly part-time behind the chair. I do all of these three things because I put all of my intention behind the time that it takes and the energy it takes and all of my downtime that has nothing to do with work. So it's just, it's potency of time and energy. And the biggest thing that I'm potent in is like my personal time, my self-care time. And then I feel like that lets me show up in ways that feel good in all those three things that I have going on. So all has to do with self-awareness. And I feel like self-awareness comes from healing and therapeutic fucking modalities and all that hippy dippy shit we talk about. Cause it's true. It is true.
And it also comes from fucking up and falling on your face and burning out and picking yourself up. You know, it all has a purpose.
It does. It really does. You know, in different seasons of your life and your career, and, you know, some would be really cool and turn you on like 1 year, and then you're like, that's not my scene this next year. And that's okay. That is 100% okay. That's what I was going to talk about in the last one. Cause we're evolved stylists. Hence the name of our podcast. Boom. Yeah,
I love it.
you can, and we can evolve, and we don't own anybody's shit, and we could be an educator this season and not one the next. We could be back behind the chair this one, and you know, whatever. We have all these options now in this industry, and that's what's cool about it. We can do different things at different points of our career, and that's okay. Feels good that way, honestly.
Absolutely. And I hope that we are all evolving and growing and changing and giving ourselves the permission to do that. Yeah. You know, you don't want to stay stagnant. You don't want to stay the same fucking person you were a year ago. I'm not the same fucking person. I don't want to be, you know? So that ebb and flow and learning and fucking up and doing things the right way, doing things the wrong way, doing things however the fuck you feel you are led to. But again, just having that awareness is the most important. I think if Rebecca and I could could sum it up is, yes, you can hustle, you can grind, you can do all these things, you can take all these paths, but when you have that awareness, that's where it really shit clicks, things come together. It feels good when you just have that awareness.
It does feel good, and it can feel good. And you don't have to, you know, we talk about hard work, and sure, it does take a lot of effort, you know, but like hard work is also synonymous with like hard, it hurts, it sucks. It doesn't have to. You can put in a ton of effort and you can like work really diligently, but it can feel good while you're doing it. I didn't believe that for a very long time. I'm like, I have to sacrifice for my career. Like I won't have a personal life if I'm going this hard on my career. I don't subscribe to that horseshit way of thinking anymore. Like anymore. And it took me doing that to figure it out though. It took me being like, I don't want that, you know, I did it and these are the negative effects and I don't want to do that anymore. And yep. We have options and I'm just really all about some, like, I don't know, softer living, like chilling out, not always keeping up with the rat race and the relevance. And, you know, like I got so sucked into that and I'm just like, I'm just, what's that dude? All right. All right. All right. I just feel like
Matthew McConaughey. Yeah.
I just feel like I'm exactly. I feel like I'm just Matthew McConaughey with my hairy chest on the beach, just fucking living life and ew. Ew. Just living, man. L-I-V-I.
Oh my God, I'm dead. Can you please start every podcast with all right, all right, all right from here on out, like as Matthew McConaughey, or introduce yourself as Matthew McConaughey?
I will.
That's my request.
And I'm going to have to send you a voice memo because Chris does this one from Magic Mike or whatever, where he's like, I see a lot of lawbreakers in here tonight. You know when he says that? He does it so fucking funny. And if I'm in a bad mood or whatever, he will do that. And I'm like, I'm dead. I'm going to send you an audio message.
Oh my God. Please do. Please
do.
Matthew McConaughey is fucking gold, by the way. I just have to say, I fucking love him. I love everything about him. I think we should do one more question and then I think we should share our final thoughts.
I love that. And this could even be a part two. I mean, the first one can stand alone and this could be a questions thing of a part two. We'll play it by ear, but I think it's funny how we're only getting through 3 and not 10 because of our monologues. Okay. You ready for the third one?
I'm ready.
Okay. What? Let me see. I want to make it a good one. Okay. Hold, please.
Hold, please.
That's a good one. This.
That's Jeopardy. If anybody out there is under the age of 50.
airs. Even though what's his face passed, I feel like it still airs. Okay.
It does.
I've got a good one. And here we go. Can you share a significant milestone or achievement in your career that has had a lasting impact on you?
Oh, fuck.
Great.
I mean, I have a lot. Okay, shit. So I've got a couple swirling around. Can I just like name a couple, but keep them like brief and then go back to the one that's like, okay. So I think making Modern Salon's top 100, I was like, oh my God, I have worked so hard to get here. I've got recognition. Now people know who I am. I think that was such a cool moment in my career. Making it on the Today Show for my crazy Whoville fucking batshit cutting technique. I was like, oh my God, the Today Show. Like this is huge. But I think there was a moment where I really realized that all the work I'd been putting in behind the chair and building my client and building my brand and my name was, I got a a hard copy of Harper's Bazaar, and my like little picture was in there with work that I had done. And it was some, I don't even remember. It was denim hair. It was denim hair because that was blowing up at the time. And I was like, oh my fucking God, I'm in Harper's fucking Bazaar. Like, what the fuck is my life? And I was with my husband and I got the magazine and I fucking started bawling. I was in a kitchen with a dirty fucking kitchen floor, grease everywhere. I dropped to my knees and I was bawling because I was like, this is cool. This is the coolest fucking moment of my life. And not that the fame brings happiness, but just for me to know that all my hard work, the shit that I was doing, thinking outside the box, creating, working, sacrificing, was getting me somewhere. And that was a really fucking cool moment. But I think my most favoritest moment I've ever had was at the Balanced Stylist Society retreat last year when everything came together and I'm looking out at the people before I go out and I'm surrounded by people I love, and the energy, just knowing that I created something and that people were crazy enough to get on board with my vision, like you, and say, yeah, I want to be a part of this. I want to spread love. I want to spread knowledge and wisdom and energy. And that to me was a moment that is, it's forever etched in my soul. It's forever etched in my brain. And it's like a culmination of the last 20 years that nobody can ever take that away from me. And it's something that, you know, I don't want to chase the dragon, because nothing will ever feel like that. But it was so beautiful. And I really took the time to like soak it in and just appreciate all the fuckery that I've been through to get to that fucking very moment.
So good. And I love that it's, I don't even fucking know. I feel like this is like gonna, this whole thing is gonna make me be at a loss for words. But I love like with your journey with your milestones, that it's like something that I don't want to call it simple, like simpler, you know, because Harper's, I mean, I will put it in terms of that, like Harper's Bazaar, you know, to the Today Show, those are massive, like huge, massive global things, but it was more special to you, like in recent years, like that was one of your biggest ones too. I'm on that same page too. I don't know if it's like we start to lose the impact of certain things from back in the day and you feel like the more recent ones more deeply, or that's just like, I don't know, it's more profound to you because you've evolved more. But I'm on that same page with you. I'm gonna completely copy you and do the same shit you did. I'm gonna do a few.
Yes.
And like, the few ones that for me were like, are you kidding me? Like, are you really even like pinch myself? I remember I was like jumping around in my house in Pensacola. I remember specifically and vividly like dancing around like a nimbly, bimbly idiot. I was on the Good Morning America show for sand art hair. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like Pensacola, Florida, PJC, that's the community college. Like this girl like is on Good Morning America. I was like, oh. That was one. I cried, like ugly cried like Kim Kardashian when I won the Stylist Choice Awards and was like, you really love me. I have screenshots of it. I'm like, what? It was a moment where I'm like, getting recognized by your peers feels really good. And then being able to like having the opportunity without all the bullshit, without all the behind the scenes stuff, without all the financials, without all the bad energetics, just being able to design a color line, like a signature color line. I was like, this is fucking insane. No matter the outcome, no matter what. And then just being able to do it with such a dope group of people and to do a couple really cool events. And then the event that really like just is always comes up for this moment of just like, wow, in my heart and soul, was that we threw this Hef Gives Back event where we had a brand sponsor it. So that's how it was financially able to happen. and they put up a lot of money to make it happen. But we flew in all the moderator admin people from HEF, like Hairstylist Education Forum, and it was a free event. So like it was packed. It was packed, packed. And it was in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of love in that room. And a huge standing ovation that went on ridiculously long made me very uncomfortable, but it just, all the hard work that I put into that event, all kind of came to fruition at that moment. And I'll never, ever forget it. Like, I've been on much larger stages, like thousands, but it didn't matter. I think there was like 500 people, or I don't know, 400 or 500 people in that room. But I was like, son of a bitch, like, wow, this feels really, really good. And that wasn't even a super duper recent one. That's just probably one of the most memorable ones. But a milestone thus far is, this is going to be abstract, but just the fact that I'm still doing it and I love it as much as I do now feels like a milestone. Like, I'm not getting caught up in all the dumb shit, you know, with ego that we talked about before. And then I just love it. And I love my circle that I'm close with now. You're one of those people, and just like collaborating in the community and like being able to still evolve, like being able to still have the passion 20 years in is a milestone. Don't you think? Like,
fuck,
just,
are you kidding me?
Survival.
Yes,
survival is a milestone.
I mean, honestly, like, I think when I first started my career, looking back at, like, let's say a 20-year veteran, they did not look like us, first of all. Like, I was like, I don't want to be hunched over a chair. I don't want to still be fucking taking men's cuts at 8 p.m. if I've been doing this 20 years. Like, it looks different. And the fact that we still have passion, we still, no matter how burnt out we get, no matter what we go through, this is what we come back to. It's hair, it's art, it's education, it's connection. And I think that it's just such a fucking beautiful thing, friend.
Sure is. I love how we're ending this on such a kumbaya moment note. It's so good. Are we about to put a pin in it?
I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave them with? I know I just put you on the spot. That was probably really shitty of me.
No. Let's talk through this. I'm kidding. No, you did mention it before. My final thoughts... I feel like what's been kind of a reoccurring theme in the last couple episodes is education. And I would say to any of the listeners that are interested in it, if you're even remotely interested, you owe it to yourself and your future, to pursue it. Like, don't get caught up. And for me, it was back in the day, it was that I'm overweight, I got gaps in my teeth, I don't have a lot of money, I'm gonna have dumpy clothes. Like, I had all of these limiting beliefs, and thank God I pushed myself to do it anyways and got over my fear and got out of my way. And you know, there could be a million of them. At the time, it wasn't so much this for me because it wasn't a very oversaturated situation, but now your thing could be like, everybody else is doing it, what am I going to do that's different? The answer is, you are only, there's only one of you. And like, you have a delivery, you have a way that you can deliver this information, you have a way to impact someone's way of doing things and speak to their soul. Nobody can duplicate you. So that's some right there. That's going to debunk your bullshit about the industry's too saturated or whatever. You owe it to yourself and your future self to fucking go after it if you're interested in education. So it changed my life, changed my career. And that's my final thought on that.
I really want a sound machine where I can like, woo, yeah, like from a clap, or like a fucking air horn. Yeah, clapping air horn. About Googling it real quick so I can be an asshole. Can I get a fucking amen? Honestly, so beautiful. I mean, I think that's a perfect way to put a little beautiful bow on this. I second everything you said, and like, you are the magic. Because there are a million people teaching balayage. There's a million people teaching social media and global blogging and fucking fashion colors and fucking cutting bobs. But you are the fucking magic sauce. And nobody is you. What I found with education is, I will tell you shit that you heard in beauty school. But because you resonate with me, that shit resonates with you. So you don't have to reinvent the fucking wheel, dude. be you, go out there, say fuck your fucking fears, do that shit anyway, and see where it takes you. Because hopefully you'll be doing a podcast in 20 fucking years, or who knows what we'll have then. You'll be teleporting to each other's houses to do live interviews with your fucking hair bestie about your journey in this industry.
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing up there?
But this is fucking crazy.
Well, it's so important coming from both of us because we've been there and done that. And you couldn't have said it better. I think we both fucking like really put a pin in it, and there's no need to circle back. And I just think we're fucking amazing. I think this industry is amazing. I'm so grateful to call you a friend and to do this podcast with you. And I'm just excited to see you where our next 5, 10, 20 years, whatever, how long we want to do this. How I just is excited, honestly.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I feel the same, friend. Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. Leave us some comments. Like, what do you want to hear? How much did you love this episode? Give us ideas, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yeah, smash the like button and share this with all the homies. Bye.